Well, you have asked a most highly intelligent question. Okay. In order to answer this question, I have to put myself in a certain mood. My spiritual master teaches that to properly understand Radha and Krishna, I must first take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, whose appearance day is Tuesday, because Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Then we chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And generally, when I preach, I chant two other mantras. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororiva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kibalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. Now I feel confident to answer your question. So, Radha and Krishna are actually one. But they have separated themselves eternally into two personalities. It is just like we have a fire. You see the flame, the diya. The flame is one, but it is emanating two energies, heat and light. Radha is Krishna's energy. They're one, but at the same time, two distinct persons. But actually they're one. Now this is difficult to comprehend. Nobody can actually say they understand. We can try to understand, but it's a question of realization. And realization comes from Krishna within. So all we can do is repeat the words of our scriptures. So Radha and Krishna, Krishna is the supreme energetic, and Radha is the supreme energy. Energy is always under the control of the energetic. Or you can say the power and the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful. And Radharani is the supreme power. Now, there is a quotation in the Bible. Man is made out of the image and likeness of God. I was raised on the Bible before coming to Krishna consciousness in 1973. I was raised on the Bible. But the Christian philosophy hardly has any information how God, man is made out of the image and likeness of God. They just have one statement. But in the Bible there's very hardly any description of God. Which is why I like our Vedic scriptures. Because we learn what God looks like. Today we heard what he likes to eat, right? Rice, yogurt, and fruit. In our Vedic scriptures, we hear so much description, what God looks like, what he likes to eat, who his friends are, what he likes to do. This is one reason why you could say I converted, because I saw there was so much more information in these Vedic scriptures. For instance, the Bible is one big book. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is like 18 Bibles. So much information is there. I have read Srimad Bhagavatam several times. Still, I am learning. Today, when I studied for today's katha, I learned things. I had read this past time many times. But today, I picked up things that I never saw before. There's so much information. So, when we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic scriptures, Krishna, the original form of God, has a human-like form. It's not a human material form. It's a spiritual form. But it has the form of a human being. But it's a spiritual form. Krishna's body is Sat-Chit-Ananda. It's eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Now, that bliss raises the question, how does God Himself enjoy? There are several words which we use to understand God. Aptakam. He's self-satisfied. He doesn't actually require someone else to satisfy Him. We, for instance, we lack something, so we get married in order to fulfill desires. We are like that. We feel lacking. We feel missing. But Krishna is aptakam, atmaram. He is self-sufficient. He is independent. But still, Krishna, or God, enjoys pleasure. So the question is, what kind of pleasure does God enjoy? God does not enjoy the kinds of pleasures that ordinary people enjoy. He does not enjoy anything in this material world. Because from Krishna's angle of vision, this material world is inferior. He sees it as his inferior energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna claims that the material energy is one of his energies. And we, living entities, are also one of Krishna's energies. Both of these energies are described in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is claiming us as one of his energies. There is a verse in the Upanishads, Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. Krishna has innumerable energies. Just like I said, the fire gives off heat and light. Krishna is emanating so many energies, but basically it comes down to three. The external material energy or inferior energy, the living entities, and then the spiritual energy. And the spiritual energy has three components. Sandini, Samvit, Khladini. Sandini means eternal existence, unlike our material body. Our material body has temporary existence. But there is a spiritual energy which has eternal existence. Then the next aspect, Samvit, complete knowledge. And then the last component of the spiritual nature, Khladini, pleasure. That pleasure potency is manifested as Srimati Radharani. Krishna or God enjoys, but he does not enjoy this inferior material energy that we try to enjoy. He knows better. I give you an example. When little girls They play with dolls. Then when they get married, they don't play with dolls anymore. They have a real life doll called a husband. And they play with that. They're not going to go back to playing with dolls because they see it's inferior. So from God's angle of vision, this material energy is inferior. He has no interest in it. It is, to him, it is an illusion. It's a dream. He enjoys the spiritual energy and specifically that pleasure potency, Vladini, which is represented as Radharani. Now, let's go into the mind of Krishna. What I'm about to say is found in a book known as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The author of that book spends an entire chapter explaining the answer to your question. Krishna knows that he is the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna knows he's God. Krishna knows that he is the source of everything. Krishna knows that everybody and everything is dependent on him. He knows that. But he finds that there is somebody who attracts him. Krishna's very name means all attractive. Krishna by nature attracts everything. But Krishna finds himself attracted to Radharani. And Krishna, there is things about Radharani Krishna cannot understand, and he's God. That's another mystery. That there is actually something God doesn't know. We don't, you and I, we don't know so many things, right? We take that for granted. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Nobody here can see the future. If you do, if you know what the future is, I want to know you. Please tell me what the future. Krishna knows the future. He says so in the Bhagavad Gita. He knows past, present, and future. But Radharani, he does not know. He looks at Radharani and says, wait a second. I am the reservoir of all pleasure. How come I derive pleasure from her? What's going on here? Then, Radha and Krishna enjoy a conjugal relationship. You know what that means. Krishna and Radha enjoy a conjugal relationship. So during their loving affairs, Krishna notices something. What does he notice? Radharani is enjoying more than him. And that puzzles him. Because remember, Krishna knows, I'm all attractive, I have all the opulences, I have beauty, wealth, strength, and Radharani serves me and loves me, and she's serving me and loving me, and her happiness is greater than mine. How can that be? Then, Krishna wants to know, what is it like to love me? Like, have you ever asked yourself, husbands, did you ever ask yourself, what's it like being your wife? She has to live with you. You should ask her sometime, what's it like being married to me? And vice versa. Wife should ask the husband, hey, what's it like being married to me? Be prepared for a shocker. So Krishna wants to know, wait a second. What does Radharani experience when she's loving me? Because he can't possibly understand because he's not her. So when all this happens, when Krishna wants to know all these things, he takes her position so that he can experience what Radharani is experiencing by loving him. Radharani has all the feminine attributes to an unlimited degree. You take any feminine attribute, Radharani has it to the umpteenth, unlimited. Whether it be the art of dressing, or singing, or cooking, any art, any feminine thing, Radharani is the emblem of such. But at the same time, Radha and Krishna are one, but they've separated themselves into two to simply enjoy a loving exchange, a conjugal relationship. And one more thing. You and I can become an assistant to their loving affairs. When we become completely free from material affection, we can gradually qualify ourselves to become an assistant of an assistant of an assistant in the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, which go on eternally. If that so interests you. Remember, it's up to you what you want to do. So, Radha and Krishna simply means the exchange of love. That's all Radha and Krishna is. It is the perfection of the loving exchange. I have read a book, I've read it several times, a book called Govinda Lilamrita, which is subtitled A Day in the Life of Radha and Krishna. And from morning to night, night to morning, Radha and Krishna are having different kinds of loving exchanges. And the gopis and the cowherd boys are assisting, meeting for the rendezvous. They meet in the midday, then they meet in the dead of night. So it goes through one day of the life of Radha and Krishna. And it shows, beyond the shadow of a doubt, there is nobody possible who can imitate Krishna, because one of Krishna's names, he is the best of lovers. It is impossible for any human being to imitate Krishna's erotic loving pastimes. It is impossible. He sets the standard. So, just know one thing. Radha and Krishna is the exchange of spiritual love, and there is no break. Even they are temporarily separated. Just like earlier today, some discussion came up. Who does Krishna meditate on? And my answer is, for sure, Krishna is constantly meditating on Radharani. And for sure, Radharani is constantly meditating on Krishna. I have given lectures many times explaining the chastity of Radharani. You could offer Radharani anything in this material world, but she will not give up Krishna. In fact, there's one episode in the 10th canto where Radharani says, you know what? Thinking of Krishna and loving Krishna is causing too much pain. But you know what? I can't stop thinking of Krishna. Even if I wanted to, I can't. That's love. That even though sometimes Krishna breaks her heart and plays tricks with her and makes her jealous. Oh, he does that. Nobody can beat Krishna when it comes to loving affairs. Still, Radharani cannot give up thinking of Krishna. It is impossible. You could offer everything. He has no interest. There's only one thing Krishna Radharani wants. and that is to serve Krishna. In fact, there is one quotation from Radharani which exemplifies what I'm saying, that Krishna and Radha, it's the exchange of love. Radharani's love is pure. How pure? Radharani says, from her own mouth, if Krishna wants to enjoy some other gopi, I will go to that gopi's house, take her by the hand, and bring her to Krishna. And I will become her maidservant. Radharani says, I only care about Krishna's satisfaction. I don't care anything about me. Radharani says, if there's something I like, but Krishna doesn't like it, I now hate that thing. And if there's something that Krishna likes, and I don't like, oh, I love that thing. She is completely sold out to Krishna, regardless. She doesn't even consider herself. She only says, I am Krishna's maidservant. Wives, do you consider yourself your husband's maidservant? I don't think so. I know my wife doesn't. Right? You know what a maidservant is. You hire them to clean your houses. Right? Radharani doesn't consider herself anything more than Krishna's maidservant. But Radharani does know that Krishna wants her. And that enlivens and enthuses her. She knows Krishna wants her. And she also plays her games. Works both ways. Krishna plays his games, and she plays her games. One time, Radharani stole Krishna's flute. And Krishna's flute, that's his only friend. So Krishna was crying, where's my flute? Where's my flute? So he went to Radha. So Radha immediately took the flute and gave it to another gopi. And Krishna said, where's my flute? I don't have your flute. Maybe she's got it. So then the next gopi gives it to the next gopi. So Krishna approaches every gopi. And as he approaches the gopi, that gopi passes the flute to the next gopi. So in this way, Krishna is approaching all the gopis. Krishna doesn't get his flute for a long time. Krishna gets his flute when Tulsi arrives. When Tulsi arrives on the scene, she settles everything. And Krishna, and he's actually crying because his flute is his only companion. And the gopis are envious of that flute. Why? The gopis look at that flute and go, wait a second. That flute is just a piece of bamboo with some holes in it. How come it's getting Krishna's lips and saliva? That belongs to us. So they hate that flute. Because the gopis expect Krishna's lips and saliva to be their property. Yes. Does that help you to understand a little bit? I've done as much as I can. Because if I go any further, it's not appropriate. You did a trick. You made me speak on this high level. I had no plan. Krishna must have told you in your heart. Go ahead. Yes, Krishna's playing his trick tonight. Any more questions? Is everybody satisfied? Who's not? You're satisfied? Or you have a question?
One question.
Good.
Krishna is immortal.
Yes.
Our souls are immortal.
Yes.
So our souls are also Krishna?
Part and parcel of Krishna. Just as the best example is the sun and the sun ray. The sun ray is only sun. But the difference is the sun planet is all powerful. The sun ray you can appreciate because it's just a ray of the sun. If the sun was to come here, we're finished. We're burnt to a crisp. So Krishna is the sun, and all of us are like sun rays emanating from Krishna. We have Krishna's qualities to a minute potency. Krishna is omnipotent. We're little potent. We are called Jivatma. Krishna is Paramatma, Supreme Soul. We are Jivatma, tiny. Infinitesimal, that's the word, infinitesimal. Sakshi said the other day, 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Again, we got nothing to be proud about. We're only 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. But even though we're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, still Krishna will accept our love and service. And he will reciprocate with you accordingly, as we learn in the Bhagavad Gita. As you surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. The ultimate reciprocation from Krishna is that you get to relate to him intimately, one-on-one. You can become Krishna's servant, Krishna's friend, you can act as Krishna's parent, or you can be one of Krishna's lovers, like the gopis, and assist Radharani and Krishna in their loving pastimes. The choice is yours. I sometimes give a presentation in the high schools and colleges. Okay? Sometimes I'm invited to speak on Hinduism or bhakti. So there's this one professor I go every year, Mrs. Wilson. And she teaches a course in the university called Emotions in Religion. So the students, some of them are atheists, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus. It's a mixed audience, mixed class. Even atheists take religious courses. Why? Because they think it's easy. Get a quick credit. That's the first question I ask the class. All right, how many atheists we got in the class today? Come on. I want to know who I'm speaking to. And they sheepishly raise their hand. There's usually 3 or 4 or 5 of them. I go, okay, now I know what to do. Because I have to speak to them as well. I have to speak in such a way that the atheist also can appreciate. So this class, Emotions in Religion, I explain the 5 basic rasas. The 5 basic rasas means what I have just explained. The first rasa, or relationship with God, is called passive adoration, where you appreciate the greatness of God. And you're in a state of rapture where you're constantly enthralled. Oh, God is so great. Like sometimes in America, they have a bumper sticker, God is awesome. Right? So that's true. That's the first rasa, shanta rasa, that you appreciate the greatness and all-pervasiveness of God. Then higher than that is to have some direct service. You can have a service. Maybe every day you make a garland and give it to Krishna. And Krishna will say, thank you, Naresh. That's a beautiful garland. Could you imagine that, huh? All right, then higher. We heard today the cowherd boys. They're playing with Krishna. Sometimes they wrestle Krishna. Sometimes they defeat Krishna. Sometimes they make Krishna defeated. You can act as a cowherd boy. Eat with Krishna. You like to eat, right? How would you like to eat with Krishna tomorrow? Krishna would be right here, and you'll eat together. You could be a cowherd boy. You don't have to go to work. Your only job is to take care of the calves. No rent. No family. Eternally a cowherd boy, just play with Krishna every day. Pretty good, huh? You go home, your mother bathes you. You get good prasad in Vrindavan. Because the mothers are gopis, so you're getting the best cooking. It's pretty nice to be a cowherd boy. And every day you get up and you get to play with Krishna. Or you can become an elderly gopi and have parental feelings towards Krishna. Just like you have parental feelings for your children. So imagine your child is Krishna. Far out, huh? Realizing this, my child is Krishna. Then the highest, you can have a conjugal relationship with Krishna as one of the gopis. Choice is yours. It's up to you what you want. This is why I chant. I want to become gopi. I want to dance with Krishna. I want to play music. So I am chanting. If it takes me a million lifetimes, I don't care. In the meantime, I will chant and dance and preach. But one day, I will achieve that goal. It's a matter of desire. So, you are part and parcel of Krishna. Does that make you feel good? Good. More questions? All right, should we have Arti? All right.